Hi, I'm Anya and you are listening to You've Got Kids, and we haven't got Aoife with us today, but we do have a lovely guest. Maria is here.
Hi.
Maria is also a nurse and she's going to be filling us in on bugs and flus and every ailment the kids come home from school with. And head lice too.
Head lice is the big one. Yeah, I mean, like, having kids is great, but what we're going to talk about today is the not so nice aspects, but the inevitable aspect when you're rearing kids. And it's the those microbial and parasitic nasties that are the bane of every child's life, and by extension, their parents. It's an annual thing, happens every year. Usually happens when they go back to school, which is why I call them back to school bugs. And, you know, just, you know, warning for anyone of a sensitive nature, you know, because of the topic in hand, it might be in parts stomach churning, skin crawling and itch inducing. So, you know, just give that warning to anyone listening.
I always find with the head lice, like as you said, the itching, I'm usually scratching myself the minute I start talking about them.
Yeah.
Do you find when your kids come home with the letter from the first week back in school, they usually come home with the letter. And usually I used to say to myself, maybe that's just, you know, a policy that the school has kind of to keep parents on top of the kids. Because it is, and I have to say, I've been very lucky with my kids. The girls, one of my kids has only ever gotten them once.
Wow.
But now, in fairness, I was a hairdresser.
Yeah.
So I always kind of knew, like, you know, use the tea child sprays or, you know, just watch them. And yeah, it didn't bother me when she got them, apart from the creak in my neck when I had to get them all out. But I've been quite lucky with them tying their hairs up tight and that, you know. And but they are a nightmare if you keep having a reoccurring, you know, because it's expensive, because we had to treat the whole house.
Absolutely.
Even though it was only one child that got them.
Yeah.
I got so paranoid and so itchy, I treated the whole house. Yeah. Me, James, the babies, even though it was like, I think you're not allowed to use it on under twos, but I put a tiny bit in his hair.
Of course. Yeah.
I was just like, if we're getting rid of this, we're getting rid of it completely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that note is kind of the dreaded note that we all, you know, dread coming in the house, isn't it? But I mean, I think the thing about with the head lice is that, you know, I know there's all these sort of sprays that you can use, but I think the best defense against head lice, well, if not necessarily the defense against it, but the best treatment for it is constant fine tooth combing. Because we're going to 2019 now, I think it was 2016. At the end of the sort of the school holidays, one of my daughters came home with it and it went through the whole household. Very, very quickly. The only one it didn't go to was my husband, because apparently head lice don't like male heads because of testosterone.
That's right. I read that. I didn't read it before. I actually listened to a head lice specialist.
Yeah.
There's actually a new clinic you can go to.
That's right. Yeah.
If it's really bad.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard of that. But I think it's best, it's very expensive to go to this. So I think the best treatment against head lice is fine tooth combing. And that whole summer when it happened, I even got it that summer. And that whole summer, I tried everything, all the over-the-counter proprietary things. And you think you've gotten rid of it and it just hasn't worked. So the only way to solve this problem is constant fine tooth combing. Every time you wash the children's hair. Now, it's painstaking, it's time consuming, but if you make sure, first and foremost, you wash the hair and then you put loads of conditioner in it, and then so that you're easily able to get the knots out of the hair. And then when that's done, it's just fine tooth combing. And I always find, particularly with children who've long hair, and especially kids with very long, thick hair, if you divide the hair up into sections and do each section a few times, and, you know, that'll start it. But then every single time you wash the hair, you fine tooth comb it. And even if you don't want to wash the hair, what I found is if you get, you know, a spray bottle and that you can spread it, you spray the hair with it so that the hair is nice and wet, and then do it if you don't want to wash the hair every second evening or whatever, because it's so much easier. The head lice, they can't seem to move in wet hair. So it's so much easier. Like, you can comb them out in dry hair, but it's so much easier to do it in wet hair because they can't move, apparently. Well, you know.
Do you know what my mother used to do us?
What?
And we used to say, my ma, she's probably, I hope she's not listening to this because she'll kill us, because all my aunties say about her. Mm-hmm. They were in a house where there was 12, so there was 9 girls and 3 boys.
Mm-hmm.
And my mam is number 2, so she's the second oldest girl. So you know yourself, right. She would have been helping me nana look after the younger ones. So the headlights come in, and they used to call her the hunter, because she'll probably kill me now. She's listening to this. She's like, making a show of me. Yeah. But anyway, they used to, because she was addicted to it, I think, checking heads.
Yeah.
And so if we got them when we were small, you'd be like, oh no. She'd do my hair, my cousin's hairs, because you know yourself, especially with the girls and the girls' schools. My cousins went to girls' schools. So obviously it was more
rampant
around the girls.
Yeah.
But I went to a mixed school. So obviously it probably helped a little bit. But she used to do my hairs and my cousin's hair. But she used to throw her heads over the bat and she'd get a hairbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd literally comb your hair really fast with the hairbrush into the bat.
Right.
I know that sounds disgusting. No. But if you did have head lice, it would come out into the bat. And then she would do the treatment in your hair.
Very good.
But she was vigilant. And I think like even when my youngest girl got them, I was really, really
paranoid.
It was like my mother. I morphed into her.
Yeah.
I was like, we are getting every single one of these out tonight.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be there tomorrow. Yeah. And it worked.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's mad. Well, believe it or not, I never had head lice as a child. Never once. No, granted, I was an only child. Whereas I first got head lice at 18. And I had really long curly hair. I had a perm at the time, if anyone remembers those horrible perms from me. And I was just about, it was over the summer again, and I was about to head off to the States. And then I started scratching. Now, I don't know where I picked it up, but there I was, 18 years of age. And my mother goes, when I was looking after you, you never got head lice. And look at you now, you're out on your own and you've got head lice. So I just had to get it all cut off because I was going to the States, you know. But on the other hand, I have 6 kids. And 3 girls, and my eldest girl actually got her hair cut completely off because she was so paranoid about head lice. But the 2 younger girls have very long hair, and the second girl is very long and very thick hair. So that's a particularly, you know, it was a particular nightmare to keep, you know.
Of course.
With the boys, I just shave them, you know, completely and utterly, you know, not bald, but what is it? Number 1, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the you know, my husband does it, he just gets the razor. And, you know, at least with the boys, there's that, you can just
get it.
But I will say this whole thing about tea tree oil as a defence, the jury is out on that as to the effectiveness of it, you know, that like whether it does actually work in repelling the lice in the first place. I mean, it'll do no harm to put it on anyway, do you know?
Tea tree oil gives a great shine to the hair.
It does anyway. It gives a nice condition. A nice smell too. Well, depending on your... Some people don't like it, yeah.
If you don't like it. But I have to say, I find the tea tree oil works. But now, in fairness, and my girls have 2 very thick heads of hair.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
I plait Leodon's hair really, really tight.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds awful, but I just say to him, if you see anybody scratching, don't be putting your heads near each other.
Yeah.
Because the day that Avian did get the head lice, when she came home, I had a creak in my neck like I do now. Obviously, this is just because I got a massage during the weekend.
Oh, right.
I don't know if it was the way I slept. But I had a massive creak in my neck doing it until they're all gone. And I said, I never want to do this again.
Mm.
Plus, I think the stuff to treat the whole house was about 50 quid or something.
Yeah.
Because you had to treat the whole house. So, like, there's 4 kids and then the 2 adults. So, and then on top of that, I bought the combs, which is very interesting to say, is that make sure that when you're buying your combs that you get the different sizes. Because there's different combs that are better for the eggs and different...
Do you mean comb. The teeth of the combs?
The teeth of the combs.
Do the combs not come in the treatment bottles themselves?
Some of them do, but I bought a set of combs and there's one comb is specifically for eggs.
Eggs, okay.
And then there's another comb specifically for the lice.
And like when you were doing Leodon's hair, it was Leodon, wasn't
it?
No,
it was Avian.
Yeah, how long did you spend on her hair getting all the lice out?
I would say for about 2 hours.
2 hours.
Easy.
Yeah.
I washed her hair.
Yeah.
I then did the combing thing like what my mam used to do with us.
Hmm.
And then I literally took it section. I have a tail comb, you know, from doing highlights years ago. It's What's like that? a pintail comb, just to section the hair.
Oh, yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I sectioned it really, really fine. And I did one section at a time, really, really slow,
yeah.
with a pillowcase on my lap. Or some people use pillowcases and some people use a white towel, or some people use black sacks.
Right, yeah.
But I'm telling you, that was it. I got rid of them all in one go. And I remember saying to a friend of mine who ended up cutting our kids' hairs, because she just was so
her heart was broken
because
with it,
it was literally reoccurring all the time, and she was spending a fortune on the stuff.
Yeah.
And I met her in church one day, and she said, I just had to, you know, and she said, don't say anything. And you know, I was like, no, I'm not going to say it. And as a matter of fact, the kids' hairs were lovely short.
Mm.
But I felt sorry for her, that she felt she had to do that. And I was like, if that ever happens again, give me a ring, I'll help you.
Yeah.
I'll help you get them out. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Because it didn't bother, it doesn't, some people are squeamish, but I tell you one thing that bothers me is that some parents don't bother, and I know they don't.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear reoccurrence
in schools,
you're kind of like, who isn't going home and doing their kids' hairs, because if we all did it, they won't get them again. We have to expect they're going to get them.
Sometime,
but what I'm saying is, it's every parent's responsibility to keep their.
Well, I heard in some schools, maybe not in Ireland, but I know definitely some schools in the States and in the Netherlands, they have a no-nip policy. So you're not allowed back in school until your hair is clear. Now, I think that's a bit drastic, but you know, that's how they do it over there. But either way, no matter what you do, you can have all those over-the-counter treatments. It actually comes down to just constant fine-tooth combing. And as you say, it could take 2 hours to do one head in order to make sure that they're all gone.
And if it is really bad for anyone, they can always go to, there's a clinic.
The new
clinic where they hoover the hair.
That's right. There's two of them, one on the north side and one on the south side.
And they hoover the hair and then they count them and everything.
Yeah, but I think you have to go back something like 2 or 3 times. It's like, you know, because of the life cycle of the louse, you could have gotten rid of all the live lice, but the eggs are still there, you know, and they'll hatch. Now, the other good thing about it is, like, lice lay God knows how many eggs, but only about 30% are actually viable and will actually hatch into baby louse. So I know it sounds very, oh my God, this is so much, but it's not. But, you know, that's the way it goes. If you get rid of all the lice but don't get rid of all the eggs, that just means in a week's time, 2 weeks' time, you're just going to get another infestation, even if your child hasn't been near somebody who has it, you know. So it is. I mean, head lice are just, it's just basically repetitious. That's my recommendation, repetitious fine-tooth combing every time the child has their hair washed. Or if you don't want to wash their hair, just use, as I said, one of these spray bottles to wet their hair.
Have you ever heard of brown vinegar being used? Because I remember that was...
Is that a really old one, is it?
Yeah, a real old remedy, brown vinegar. Now, I wouldn't go plastering your child with brown vinegar because I don't know what that actually does. Yeah. That could actually probably burn the scalp off them. But I'm just talking old wives' tales.
Yeah. My husband actually has a theory. He said when he was younger, it wasn't as rampant, the head lice. At least he figures it wasn't as rampant. And he thinks it was because of two things. Number one, all the smoking that was going on, that they didn't like the smoke. And the other thing is all the product people used to use in their hair, like hair lacquer. Do you remember hair lacquer? You don't remember hair lacquer?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Hairspray.
And hair mousse and all this kind of stuff and gel, so.
Brill cream,
yeah. Wax, yeah, yeah.
That's gas. So to keep lice away from kids' hairs, take up smoking.
That's it, yeah.
Take up smoking.
Yeah.
Give them secondhand smoke instead.
This is it, yeah.
No.
We're not recommending that at all. Yeah.
No, obviously not. But there's worse things anyway than lice. Yeah. Like, for me, Vomiting bugs.
Particularly are just now, I was just thinking about this on the way in here. It was actually this week last year that our whole family came down with it. And I find with the vomiting bugs, it's like a game of dominoes. Like, it's just one person gets it and it's just the next person and the next person and the next person and the next person. And the more people in the house, you know, the longer it takes to get rid of. And of course, the worst thing as well is the trepidation when you're going, oh my God, somebody's sick. Because sometimes when one of the kids gets sick, it's not necessarily a bug, but that's always there in the back of your mind, like, who's the next one to, you know, to get sick or whatever. And it was just like this time last week, we all had it. And like that was a game of dominoes, like, you know, one of my sons got it and then the other son got it. Then my daughter got it and then I got it, which is very unusual for me. I normally don't get it, but I did last year. And it just went through the whole house, you know. So it's just, again, it's one of these things that you just can't avoid. And if it's in the house, it's in the house.
Yeah. You know, when somebody comes to your house and then they tell you, oh, he was sick last night. And that drives me mad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I remember when I was a younger mother with like two or three kids, I used to, when one of the kids got sick, I used to like maybe isolate them, put them in another room or something. And sure, that was the worst thing I could have done. Because what it meant is that like it just completely and utterly, it like it just extended the time period out so much longer.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing is just to accept that if there is a bug in the house,
you're all
not every, not necessarily everyone is going to get it, but there's nothing really you can do to stop it. I mean, by all means, do especially when you're cleaning up the vomit and the doo-doo and everything, you know, make sure you're as scrupulous as possible you can to hygiene. So if you can wear rubber gloves, get an apron to put on you when you're cleaning it up. And but the problem is, you know, the a lot of this, particularly like viruses like norovirus and rotavirus, which both like the winter vomiting bugs. You see, this is, folks, is where I said it's going to get stomach churning. It's actually, the vomit is often very projectile. It's not like, you know, if you've eaten too much. With norovirus specifically, it's very projectile vomit and it's airborne. So the spores go everywhere and it is, you can just inhale them and that's it. You've got the bug. Do you know what I mean?
Any spores, any?
Yeah. Yeah,
I never knew that. But we, years ago, I'll give you a laugh.
Yeah.
We had a little camping trip with the family. My mum and daddy used to bring us camping.
Yeah.
And this one year, we decided we were going to Kerry. And my cousin came down with me. She used to come with me as, you know, a little friend to bring.
Yeah.
And the whole lot of us in the caravan. It was like a scene out of Hotel Paradiso.
I've never seen that.
I woke up and I literally just projectile vomited over everybody who was
in your vicinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had these fold out, like, you know, the way the table turns into a bed. So it was like me, Nicola, and my ma, and I think my younger sister.
Oh my God.
On one side. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But I can remember my ma saying, why didn't you make it to the toilet? Because like it was such a small space.
Yeah, yeah.
But, stop. It was the funniest thing. Because then Nicola, my cousin, she was obviously stuck in the tile in her head.
Yeah.
And then at one point during the holiday, my dad scaled the fence in a garage.
Yeah.
Running to the toilet. But I never knew it was spores anyway.
I
just always thought, like, it's something in the air because I'm, you know, don't know the...
Yeah, no, it is. It just gets everywhere. And the other thing I have noticed though as well is that if the older children come home with it, it inevitably makes its way down. But if the younger children start with it, you might be all right. It mightn't go all the way up because the older immune systems are so much more developed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, the issue is that, again, you just have to accept it. You're going to spend an awful lot of time washing.
Yeah.
You
know? And but I'm one of these people. Anything comes into the house, I'm wash the light switches, wash the remote.
This is it. Yeah.
Wash the telly.
Absolutely.
Things people don't think about, like light switches.
Yeah.
Sockets.
Yeah.
Stuff the kids to be, you know, touching. But like, I mean, at the same time, I'm like that.
Yeah.
At the minute one of them kind of gets sick, I'm like, wash the duvets. Well, obviously you do that anyway.
Yeah.
But take the cushions off, covers off. But I'd be taking, stripping the beds, everything.
Yeah,
everything gets
absolutely
done.
Yeah.
And then another person gets sick and I'm like, oh, for God's sake, like, how long is this going to last?
Yeah, I mean, this is just it. And this is the other thing as well. I mean, these things are self-limiting, you know, so they eventually will run their course. And usually there's no problem. There's no need to get a doctor or anything like that. The only problem is if you have a very young baby in the house, that's when, you know, you could have a problem because it, particularly if the child gets very dehydrated and you may end up then having to make a trip to A&E. Not that the doctor can do anything to stop the vomiting, but just to give them like an IV in order to get them rehydrated. Do you know what I mean? But I mean, the thing is, like, if you have a very young baby, I think the advice is if they're on formula, just switch them to cool boiled water. But if you're breastfeeding, they just say keep breastfeeding as normal, breastfeed through the bug. And I remember once one of my kids was breastfeeding and, you know, the few of them got the vomiting bug, and I actually decided to express and give the others the breast milk to see if it would help it, you know.
And did
it? Well, it didn't do any harm. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, it's one of these things I don't know. Maybe it would have been a lot worse had I not have done it. You know, it wasn't like a miracle cure. They didn't just have the milk and then stop getting sick. But, it, you know, it could have been a lot worse, you know.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
I use the boiled 7-Up. Mm. That's 7-Up. Yeah. It's a, I think that's everyone's go-to, isn't
this
it?
Is
when
it.
The bogus day.
7-Up without the fizz in it. That's the thing you have to remember, either by boiling it or by taking the cap off it.
And you're a nurse, Maria, so why no fizz? Because I actually like the fizz. Like, if I'm sick, I'd love a bottle of Coke.
Yeah, because of the gas in it. The gas will upset your stomach. You see, the bubbles and stuff will is not going to be very good for settling your stomach. And what you want to do in these instances is just settle the stomach.
Yeah.
So that's it. But like, I kind of, the thing about the washing is, particularly with the girls, it's really bad. They end up everywhere in their hair and everything, you know, and it's just awful. Like, you're there at 3 o'clock in the morning in the shower, you know, showering them down.
I know.
And it's
like,
I never do laundry on a Sunday. It's like a day of rest, you know. No unnecessary servile work. The only time I would do it is if people are sick. And then it's like the washing machine is going all day on a Sunday because you just have to clean up all that pukey.
Yeah, well, you've no...
towels and blankets and everything.
You've no choice when they're sick.
No,
anyway.
You don't. No. No. No.
But I have to say now, it's been a while since we've had a bug in our house.
I know, wait, you see. No, you just jinxed it now.
I know. I'm just actually thinking that. We're talking about bugs. I bet you anything, one of them will come home or something from school. But do you ever meet people who are never sick? I have an auntie and she's 4 kids.
Never sick.
And they're never sick.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And she always says it. She says, my kids, they don't
never
get...
never pick up anything.
Never have bugs.
That's
and then
gas.
There's my... I have a cousin then, 4 kids. And she'd say... because she only said it to us. We're in a group chat. And she said, our kids always seem to be sick all the time. Like, between bugs coming into the house and that. I don't know. I think it's weird, isn't it? Like, some people just tend to be lucky.
Are they... Is she scrupulously clean or is she the other way? I just wonder, has it got to do... are we too clean now? And because we're so clean, our kids aren't...
Do you know what? She actually made a comment like that.
Yeah.
She actually said, no, she wouldn't be scrupulously clean.
See,
she's normal.
That could be the reason.
She's actually very normal.
Yeah.
Like, and she'd be very... like, that's what she did say, something about that.
Yeah.
That sometimes people can be overdoing it with the...
then your immune system isn't used to it. So that's, you know, that's it, yeah. It could be. I don't know.
But she... no, don't get me wrong. She's clean.
She's
like,
clean,
she's
yeah.
just... she'd be like me, but I wouldn't be one of these clean freaks either.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, if there's a bug or something in the house and I know they're sick,
yeah,
I'll be flying around bleaching absolutely everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I wouldn't say I'm somebody who has OCD.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, but even as I said, even if you do, like, it's because it's airborne, there's, you know,
there's
no matter how much you clean, it's just going to go through everybody.
That's it. If you're going to get it, you're kind of going to get it anyway.
Yeah.
But I suppose you'd be advising people just to...
oh, absolutely. Like, it's, you know, what we used to call in nursing universal precautions, like, which is like, you know, make sure you wear gloves, make sure you have like an apron on while you're cleaning all the vomit up at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever, or the diarrhea off the wall or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's no excuse not to be careful, but just to realise that, you know, it is airborne, so there's very little you can do about it. Basically, what I'm saying is, when it's in the house, it's in the house, and it's self-limiting, but it will just go through everybody.
So air out the house.
Oh, that's another thing. You were talking about the tea tree oil. I do, like, there, tea tree oil does have antimicrobial properties. So if you burn it in an air burner, that will actually, I find, clear the air and open all the windows as well.
The windows is a big thing.
Yeah, open the windows.
And if you're like me and you're a freak with the sprays.
Spray, yeah.
Antibacterial all over your remotes and your light
switches. Everything, yeah.
And I'm not, as I said, I'm not OCD. I don't do that all the time. I do when somebody's sick.
Sick, yeah.
Other than that, I do normal cleaning like everybody else. But I think we've kind of said everything about bugs and flus. Is there anything else before we finish up?
Well, just in terms of, like, you know, the ones that aren't as bad, which is like colds and flus, like, if, you know, if you have a temperature in the house, you know, make sure that the kids are well hydrated. Just keep them, you know, drinking, you know, if they're not getting sick, you know, it's very good because they're going to keep it down. Lots of Calpol, lots of Nurofen just to keep the temperature down. And, you know, these things, they pass eventually. You just know there'll be light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, because, you know, I know with the under eights now, yeah, going to the doctors now, everybody will be running for the least little thing.
Yeah,
and
I know.
It's needless because doctors can't actually do anything.
Nothing
about flus.
For viruses. Yeah, they can't do anything for viruses. No, it's ridiculous. I think an awful lot of people go just out of reassurance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know? And you can understand that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, that's all we have time for today.
So I hope you're all fine after listening to that. Nobody's sick or scratching at the moment.
Yeah, or completely grossed out.
Completely grossed out, yeah.
But Maria is a nurse, so she gives very good advice. And thanks for coming in
and
today.
And you're a hairdresser, so that was very good tips over the...
Hair messer.
Over the head lice, yeah, brilliant, yeah, yeah.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.